Does any of this work really matter? Does what I'm doing make a difference in the world? Have you ever had questions like these? Sure, they might be a little different here and there, but the questions about the impact and the legacy of what you are doing sometimes seems to loom large in our minds. Now, I've found that there are seasons of struggle and isolation when these questions seem to speak louder than other times. I don't know about you. And so this week, we're concluding our Finding God in the Mess series. And during this, we've made the claim that in seasons of mess in our lives, we're able to see God at work. In fact, because of the mess, we may be more able to see what God's up to and doing in our lives more clearly than when things are going all our way, right? When things are coming up roses. And to illustrate this, we've been looking at the life of the prophet Elijah, and he's one of those pillars of our faith that as a prophet and a spokesman for God, his primary job was to help the people of God turn away from worshiping idols and false gods and back to worshiping Elohim, Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And so today we see Elijah finding God in a season of isolation as he eventually passes the mantle on to a new generation, the prophet Elisha, not Elijah. It's tricky, I know. Okay, but if you get nothing else from today's conversation, I'd encourage you to reflect on the question of, who am I investing in right now? But before we move too much further forward in our story, let's remember where Elijah has been, okay? He's running from his life and he meets God while hiding out basically at the other end of the world from where his office is. And his conversation with God, we hear echoes of this narrative in Elijah's life that it seems to point to these feelings of isolation and anxiety. He's anxious that all he's doing is for nothing, that the people aren't listening, and even when they do listen, he finds himself alone and isolated from them. That's why he's in the cave in the first place. Elijah feels like his life isn't making an impact, and that no one is seeing his hard work and what he's doing besides from God, of course, but sometimes that's hard. And so God gives the prophet one final assignment. Go to this town right next door to where you grew up. Anoint a couple of kings, and there you're going to find someone to become your apprentice. And what we take away from the remainder of Elijah's story is that even in seasons of isolation, we can see God in the mess when we invest in others. We see that Elijah meets his prophet Elisha while he's plowing the field, just as God said he would. He tosses his cloak over the shoulders of Elisha and keeps on going. It kind of reminds me of the classic Coke commercial with an injured Mean Joe Green throwing his sweaty football jersey over this kid who offers him a drink of Coke after this game, right? I don't know why it's there, but it's there. The commercial outdates me, but whatever, right? He just tosses it. Here you go, kid. And so Elisha then builds an altar, says goodbye to mom and dad, and they are then this kind of unbreakable duo, this Batman and Robin in some ways, right? And so it seems at this point as if Elijah has been grounded by the community that is offered by being able to invest in this apprentice. This investment gives Elijah connection in the present, but also hope for the future that his work and his legacy may continue on beyond him. It's powerful. Now, it's at this point that we don't get too many secrets or steps as to what this mentoring relationship looks like, but I'm pretty confident that Elijah sees God in the work that he is doing with a little bit more confidence now that Elijah is there to share the yoke. But for some kind of practical ways in which we're able to be intentional in these kind of relationships, that if we're in seasons of isolation, then how do we really do that and invest? And so I want to then turn to some of the language used by Paul and by Jesus to remind us that these kind of relationships are adoptive relationships, not assimilating. However, both the mentor and the mentee are adoptive children into God's family. The mentor isn't trying to assimilate the other person and just kind of pour into them, into the family, but rather the family loves, nourishes, and respects the voice and the input of both parties. I think that's pretty critical, and for what we're going to be talking about later on. Now see, Jesus uses this imagery sometime in John 15 when he talks about abiding in him. You and I and the people that we invest in, they are abiding in Jesus. I'm abiding in Jesus. This language is also used in this adoption language in Romans 8 as well. So you can check those out at your leisure. But leading others into adoptive family of God means that we become what a team at Fuller Seminary calls keychain leaders. These are leaders who acutely are aware of the keys on their keychain and intentionally entrust and empower all generations with their own set of keys. The idea isn't just to hand off the keys to others, letting them simply take over the ministry when you're done. But rather, you begin to make copies of your key so that each party has a set over time, sharing little bits and pieces here and sharing in the burden and the blessing of the calling which we're called to. Keychain leaders are strategic, present, and involved. They want to empower others to discover and use their gifts to contribute and participate in the life of the community. That's astronomical. That's powerful. And this can take a myriad of forms, but it's common to see this kind of commitment that each person has made to engage in their God-given leadership in a way that embodies their value and their place. And so there's some common DNA in these keychain leaders. And first, keychain leaders invest in the wisdom through word and deed to help others being adopted into the family. Now, this might seem like the most obvious part, and I think that it is, but it needs to be said. Investing in others means that we share our wisdom that we've accumulated over time and over the years so that those that we are investing in may grow and avoid some of the pitfalls that we may have walked into, right? That's investing, that's mentoring, that's doing all that. Now, the second one though, keychain leaders are willing to receive the help and the perspective of those others that are in that adoptive family. As we make keys for the key ring of those that we are investing in, we're also trusting their voice and that their voice matters so that we can learn from one another, therefore strengthening the larger community or family of God. This also gives ownership and empowers those who are being invested in. I matter, the things that I'm doing make a difference. And finally, leaders pass on the mantle. At some point, those that we invest in will have enough keys of their own on their own key ring to be doing their own thing, and that we can part with a blessing in doing that. And we pray for their continued growth and success. I think that this is where I see our scripture coming circling back. Like 8 years with the two prophets that we have in our scripture, you know, there's this gap of time that we don't know what's going on, but then we have this final encounter with Elijah and Elisha. And I believe here we see how Elijah has been a keychain leader, because when his apprentice asks for a double share of God's Spirit, Elijah makes a way for his apprentice to receive it. And for those keeping score at home, you'll read through 2 Kings and you'll notice that Elijah does twice as many miracles as his mentor. He gets a double share. Pretty crazy, right? Elijah's life comes to an end and he passes on a mantle. Passing on this mantle with a blessing is critically important for both parties. And so we see, during his season of isolation and anxiety, Elijah was able to find hope and connection by investing in someone else. In doing this, he was able to see God at work in the mess. Let's pray. Wonder-working God, so many times in so many places, we get isolated and we feel like we are siloed in and that there is no one who understands. And yet, at times, there are people that you have placed in our lives, in our path, that we can invest in. God, allow us to be those keychain leaders that we are called to, being adopted into your family. By pouring into them our experience through word and deed, by listening to what they have to offer us so that we might grow too. And then passing on that mantle, knowing that our legacy is larger and bigger than who we are. But as part of your family, that we can come to know and to grow with the hope and connection that you have given to us. God, it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.